From Independence Hall in Philadelphia, a community's tribute. This is John Fassenda. As the body of President John F. Kennedy lies in state at the Grand Rotunda of the Capitol in Washington, Philadelphians are gathering here at Independence Hall, here to mourn along with millions of Americans throughout these United States. Before this house, in which was written the world's longest lived testament to orderly government and the ultimate sanity of man, the United States Constitution. It is ironic that the act which briefly left our nation without a chief still reinforces in us our belief in the meaningful events that took place here 176 years ago. Indeed, this is a community's tribute to a nation's leader, a leader who particularly caught the imaginations of the peoples of Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. And is also a tribute from the people of the city who had an affection for Mr. Kennedy and who were held in high esteem by him in return. Political observers say that President Kennedy gained office in 1960, largely through the overwhelming plurality that he drew here in the city of Philadelphia. But this is hardly the time for politics. Nor is it an occasion for pomp or grandeur. This procession is made up of elements which have been associated with our late president, the Fairmount Park Guard mounted troop which had marched with Mr. Kennedy when he visited here, the Valley Forge Military Academy's marching band, which with the singing city choirs have performed for many presidents. Honor Guards of the Marine Corps, the Navy, the Air Force, and the Army also join in this commemorative gesture to our 35th president. City's police highway patrol always escorted the president on his visits here to the city of Philadelphia. At his own request, they escorted Mr. Kennedy down Pennsylvania Avenue on his way to his inaugural. Statesman and poet, soldier, businessman, and educator, diplomat, scientist. We all participate here today in an almost unreal and unbearable experience. A final tribute to a president shot dead by an assassin 2 days ago. The Right Reverend Monsignor John J. Noon, Vice Chancellor of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dearest friends, you are exhorted to mark this observance prayerfully, that all may obtain some measure of the spiritual strength vital to this moment. We begin with this prayer. O Almighty God, Creator and Redeemer of all mankind, merciful Father, Thou knowest the weakness of our nature. So look down with pity upon us, Thy servants, upon whom Thou hast laid the heavy burden of sorrow by the sudden death of our faithful and beloved President John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Grant him eternal life, and take away out of our hearts the spirit of rebellion. Grant that we may not languish in fruitless and unavailing grief, and sorrow as those who have no hope, but through our tears look meekly and confidently up to Thee, the God of all consolation, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
With us are statesmen present and past, performing artists, scientists, leaders of civic groups, educators, representatives of the military, clergymen, diplomats, members of the Consular Corps, the judiciary, and a distinguished group of creative artists. And these last perhaps dearer to Mr. Kennedy's heart than to any other president's. Ladies and gentlemen, the Honorable James H.J. Tate, Mayor of the City of Philadelphia.
Reverend clergy, Your Excellency the Governor of Pennsylvania, Your Excellency the Governor of New Jersey, the representative of the Governor of the State of Delaware, distinguished guests, and fellow Americans. Usually it is my assignment to extend greetings to those who appear at observances at this hallowed spot. But today, on this great day of mourning, I greet you in sorrow. For this is a time of real sorrow for Philadelphia, for our nation, and for the world. The life of our beloved and martyred president, a life of sacrifice, and of a noble achievement, of true greatness and the full dignity of man under the provident hand of Almighty God, would have no meaning unless we bow our heads in prayer for the repose of his soul. Through our grief, we should raise our heads again in hope and supplication that our new president, Lyndon B. Johnson, receive the strength and guidance to lead our nation through these difficult days to the future of peace and justice and freedom which John Fitzgerald Kennedy envisioned. As mayor of this great city, as one who was so proud to have known John Fitzgerald Kennedy in an official and a personal capacity, I have proclaimed Monday, the day of his funeral, to be one of mourning, marked by the closing of all municipal buildings and public buildings too. I have respectfully urged that all business and commercial establishments in the city mark this day of mourning appropriately so that all personnel may visit their respective houses of worship to attend memorial services or to kneel in private prayer, as their choice may be, to seek consolation and to strengthen their will for the days that lie ahead. The death of our great president is truly a sin against humanity itself, for he was the world's leading spokesman of goodwill and tolerance for all men of all nations. I trust, as I know all of you do, and trust to and hope that his death will serve as a beacon to guide us in our daily lives and to inspire all of us to practice those virtues for which he became a martyr only 2 days ago. May God have mercy on his soul, and may God be with all of us in this hour of our need.
Robert Frost, one of America's truest poets, who died only several months before his friend, President Kennedy, ushered in the era with an ode read at the inauguration not yet 3 years ago. The distinguished American actress, Miss Eva LaGallian, will read a poem which appeared in Mr. Frost's last published volume, the one that contains the inaugural poem.
Once by the Pacific, by Robert Frost. The shattered water made a misty din. Great waves looked over others coming in and thought of doing something to the shore that water never did to land before. The clouds were low and hairy in the skies, like locks blown forward in the gleam of eyes. You could not tell, and yet it looked as if the sand was lucky in being backed by cliff, the cliff in being backed by continent. It looked as though a night of dark intent was coming, and not only a night, an age. Someone had better be prepared for rage. There would be more than ocean water broken before God's last turn out the light was spoken.
Representing Governor Elbert N. Carville is the Secretary of the State of Delaware, the Honorable Elijah Dukes.
Reverend clergy, distinguished guests, and friends, only once in several generations is a nation blessed with an administrator who possesses the unique qualities that privilege him to wear the mantle of genuine greatness. Unfortunately, this nation of ours has just lost such a man. The genius of John Fitzgerald Kennedy was not confined to any single area, and he had, from the day he entered public office, proven himself capable of dealing with problems of every nature. He was an accomplished leader locally, nationally, and internationally. In a face of a relentless
and exasperating Cold War, Mr. Kennedy not only retained composure, but he held this great nation secure against the vicious forces that work so relentlessly against freedom and democracy. President Kennedy was a leader in the truest sense. While always eager to be advised, he retained command and accepted responsibility in all situations. My fellow Americans, it is a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead. Let us continue to remember our beloved president in our daily prayers. And let us ask ourselves what President Kennedy would expect of us at this trying time. If you recall, he emphasized at his inauguration that we should all ask not what our country could do for us, but rather, what can we do for our country? I am certain that this courageous man would call upon us to muster our strength, to marshal our forces, and to carry on the work of the country he loved so well.
The Reverend Henry H. Nichols, pastor of the James Methodist Church and president of the Philadelphia Council of Churches.
Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thy children come to thee at an hour so difficult to face, conscious that thou art our Father and we are thy children, that thou hadst bid us come and that thou wouldst give to us the comfort and the strength that we would need in this and every trying hour. We pray this afternoon that as the world joins with us in mourning the loss of a great president, that thou wilt comfort and sustain and strengthen his family, that they may be able to look beyond the valley of the shadows of death to a loving Father who bids to them as well as to us to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And in the days that are yet ahead, may they continue to look to thee who has promised never to leave us or forsake us, and upon whom we can cast our burdens because you love us. Forgive us for our failures, for we realize that it is because we have failed to do the things that we ought to have done that such tragedy could come to us at this time. Forgive us and help us to build a monument to our late president by renewing our vows to thee and seeking to hasten the day when thy kingdom shall come in the hearts of all men as it is in heaven. Grant us wisdom and grant us courage for the facing of this hour, for the living of these days. In the name of our risen Lord, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Speaking now for the 37 nations with consular representatives in the city of Philadelphia, Mr. Thomas S. Tull, Her Britannic Majesty's Consul to the city of Philadelphia.
Distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, here at Independence Hall, 18 months ago, the man whom we honor today proclaimed the interdependence of all nations. It is perhaps therefore fitting that one person, however inadequately, should try to speak not only on behalf of his colleagues and himself and the countries which they represent, but also perhaps for all those countless millions of men and women across the seas who share this hour with you. For this is a universal tragedy. We all mourn with the American people. We share with them their shock and their grief. We join with them in their outpourings of sympathy and in their prayers for Mrs. Kennedy and for the President's family. We offer too our prayers and support for President Johnson in the tasks which lie ahead of him. We have all lost a loyal and faithful friend, a brave statesman killed in the full vigor of his manhood when he bore on his shoulders all the cares and hopes of all of us, one who strove always to make the world a better and a safer place for ordinary men and women to live in. We shall always remember John Fitzgerald Kennedy as a man of peace, a man of deep religious faith, which was dedicated to healing divisions between men, a courageous, just, and tolerant man. For us, as for the American people, his loss is a deep and sad one. We can only rededicate ourselves to those things which he liked, which he loved, and for which he worked during his life. And if we can help to bring to the world the tolerance, liberty, justice, and peace for which he did so much, then we shall be doing something to serve the causes in the service of which he himself died.
One of the frequently read volumes in Mr. Kennedy's library was the collected works of Robert Frost. The late president is said to have counted among his favorites the poem which will now be read by the distinguished actor, José Ferrer.
Escapist Never by Robert Frost. He is no fugitive, escaped, escaping. No one has seen him stumble, looking back. His fear is not behind him, but beside him on either hand. To make his course perhaps a crooked straightness, yet no less a straightness. He runs face forward. He is a pursuer. He seeks a seeker who in his turn seeks another still, lost far into the distance. Any who seek him, seek in him the seeker. His life is a pursuit of a pursuit forever. It is the future that creates his present. All is an interminable chain of longing.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Honorable William W. Scranton, Governor of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Distinguished guests, reverend clergy, my fellow Pennsylvanians, my fellow Americans. We stand today in the comforting shadow of one of mankind's great shrines to the cause of human freedom. We are comforted because we know that cause is timeless. Yet we know, too, that we are a far different people than we would have been had we gathered here a week ago for some other purpose. We are not here to be mere verbal patriots. Today, a president lies dead, a martyr to that same great cause of human freedom. A first lady grieves with a courage all admire. and two small children will probably never realize how fully a great nation sorrows for them. This nation mourns because a dark shadow has crept across our national conscience. This generation of Americans has lost forever the easy privilege of deadening that conscience with a narcotic of complacency. With just cause, we have fancied ourselves a people in the forefront of the human experiment in freedom and government by law. So far removed are we in time from the sacrifice of our forefathers that perhaps it is understandable we had come to view the government they founded with a certain complacency. Just 100 years ago, only shortly before he too died by violence, Abraham Lincoln wrote, "Among free men, there can be no successful appeal from the ballot to the bullet." And surely of all the world's chiefs of state, the American president should be most secure from murder by a constituent. He is elected by almost universal suffrage. His term is limited by law, and every citizen has the right to express disagreement with national policies. But yet the despicable has happened. Our national leader has been shot down in cold blood, and his body lies lifeless. Beyond our grief and our anger, what must this mean for all Americans? This terrible violence, done both to a fine man and to our system of government, cries out for a greater rededication by us all. It must make us realize that the American experiment is not yet complete. We still have much to do if freedom's cause is to be fully won. A new generation of Americans must stand for compassion, not hate, for tolerance, not prejudice. Today we are a nation united in sorrow and in prayer. Tomorrow we must be a nation united in a new dedication to the values of human freedom and self-government. Otherwise, two small children will have lost not only their father, but their birthright as well. No man would pray that we so unite more than the leader now gone, for he lived and died so dedicated. God bless him, and God help us.
Thank you.
The Honorable Richard J. Hughes, Governor of the State of New Jersey.
Distinguished guests, Governor Scranton, Mayor Tate, Reverend clergy, ladies and gentlemen, I feel that all of you are distinguished by the spirit of love which brought you here today to this hallowed place to think for a little while about the president who lies dead in Washington. I remember being here on that warm July 4th when this young fearless American stood on this same platform in this same place and spoke words of hope and courage to all the world. And now John Kennedy belongs to history. This young and courageous spirit, so vibrant in life, stilled by a senseless and an evil act. But he would have lived in vain and died in vain if we do not now resolve, as has been said here today, as one people, all together, to follow his example of dedication and to make his ideals our ideals. His life was one of service to his own people and to the people of all the world to whom he was speaking on that July day here in Philadelphia. In the service of freedom some 20 years ago now, his body absorbed the wounds of battle, and the world first learned of his capacity for courage. And from the fire of war emerged a man of peace, and a man who was to become the leader of mankind's search for peace and justice. John Kennedy was a man of hope and determination, for he believed in man's ability, with God's help, to shape the course of human affairs. I recall that one time he said that the tide of history is not running against the United States, but will go in the direction in which strong and resolute men cause it to go. And he was just that kind of a man. In the months and years ahead of us, each one of us should assume, I think, as a personal duty, a dedication that America does continue in his determined spirit, the work of President Kennedy. His words and his acts point out the way very clearly to us, and I think we should, as we mourn for the man who said these great things that have been repeated here today, we should begin to appreciate the full meaning of those words, words like, ask what you can do for your country. Indeed, it has been possible to measure that meaning, the meaning of those words, in his many acts as president. For John Kennedy worked for peace and justice through strength and negotiation, and so must we. His was the way of reason and tolerance in meeting the challenges of our times. So must ours be. He sought to bring the full benefits of freedom and equal opportunity to all Americans. So must we do. His was a search for justice for the poor, for the retarded, for the underprivileged, for the handicapped, for all those in need of help of their fellow man. And so must our effort be. To John Kennedy, the ultimate strength of America was in her people, their unity, their bonds of brotherhood. We can recognize that strength in the unquestioned manner in which all Americans now have pledged their support for our new president, Lyndon B. Johnson, as he takes up the tasks and the awful responsibilities of the world's most powerful office. And it is a tribute to the American people which may diminish in some small way the shock and the shame we feel that one among us betrayed the spirit and meaning of this great nation by this mad act of assassination. So as we grieve, let us pledge as a firm, a real, a sacred obligation, our determination to act in a manner befitting the memory of John Fitzgerald Kennedy, a manner in which the good which is within all of us one day will triumph over the evil and the hate that last Friday cast its shadow over this nation. This will be our profile and courage. This will be our real tribute to the memory of a great American.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Honorable Joseph S. Clark, United States Senator from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Members of the clergy, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, the world has suddenly lost America's leader, a man of youth and vitality and strength, a man with a happy mixture of idealism and practicality, of charm, of wit, of intelligence, a friendly man, committed to the causes of peace, of freedom, of equal opportunity for all. In his inaugural address nearly 3 years ago, he said, "Let the word go forth from this time and place to friend and foe alike that the torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans, born in this century, tempered by war, disciplined by a hard and bitter peace, proud of our ancient heritage, and unwilling to witness or to permit the slow undoing of those human rights to which this nation has always been committed and to which we are committed today, at home and around the world. No madman's bullet can be permitted to stop this memorable march of America as a part of the human race towards peace and freedom, compassion and justice under law. The brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God call upon us to reach out loving hands across all barriers of race, religion, color, bigotry, and belligerence to all who feel as he did. Let us, in this great assemblage, keep our hands outstretched."
and the great star early drooped in the western sky. At night, I mourned, and yet shall mourn. Those lines, written nearly 100 years ago, perhaps in a small house which still stands in Camden, just across the Delaware River, were Walt Whitman's words on the death of Abraham Lincoln, 98 years ago. The body of Abraham Lincoln, slain also by an assassin, lay in state in this hall where we meet together today. 176 years ago, in this hall, the best of compacts ever made among men set forth the basic law by which we live. This law says that it's the people's right to determine the worth of a president and thereby the course of history. In the third year of our late president's term, an isolate individual took upon himself the evaluation of Mr. Kennedy's worth, the course of America's history. What we mourn here today is not only the assassin's action, but the man we love, but the theft, and indeed the killing of the concepts built into our society by the authors of our Constitution. That the right to select a government belongs to all Americans according to fixed principles, not arbitrary action. America aches for him now, lying in state under the gleaming dome of the Capitol in Washington. John Fitzgerald Kennedy, who 3 years ago said, as every president before him in one way or another has said, love your country, love your country. Our community, our country, gives its tribute to President Kennedy this day because he did for all of us anyone could have asked. He died utterly without reason. Let us join now in prayer with Rabbi Morris Pickholtz, spiritual leader of the Congregation of the B'nai Jesuit and chairman of the Philadelphia Board of Rabbis.
Father in heaven, in this hour of grief, we turn to thee for solace and comfort. We implore thy divine help and guidance. We are painfully aware of the grave loss we have suffered in the death of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. He was a dedicated and devoted servant of thee, who led our beloved country with wisdom far beyond his years. His youthful enthusiasm, tempered with his unusual knowledge and understanding, were thy divine gifts that enabled not only our people, but the people of the entire world to repose their trust in him. His was the leadership that brought hope to a doubtful world, vision to a skeptical country, and inspiration to an insecure generation. We pray thee, Almighty God, for the peaceful repose of his soul, and that his life may ever illumine our paths. Our hearts are full of emotion as we entreat thee too to grant consolation to the bereaved widow, her children, the aged parents, and the entire family. May their faith in thee never falter in this moment of tragedy. Our prayers too are for our new president, Lyndon Baines Johnson, upon whom this tragic death has caused the mantle of leadership to fall. Grant him, we pray thee, the wisdom and the devotion that he will desperately need in this hour of trial. May the leaders of our government provide him with the unity and the dedication that will enable our country to light up the darkened skies with torches of peace and hope. Amen.